Welcome everyone to another episode of What Is. I have an amazing one lined up today. It's really interesting because it's about a topic that I probably know nothing about and know a lot about because I come from the land of Bollywood. And so does my guest today, Akanksha. Akanksha and me met in college. We didn't ever actually meet in college, but we went to the same college for 3 years. It was really weird. And then we met out of college when we finally moved to Chicago and shared a similar interest of being part of Second City and having some common friends. But ever since then, our lives have always corresponded, whether it being me acting in one of her shows or us just hanging out and eating Indian food. We just have had some amazing memories together, and Akanksha is a really, really cool person, and I'm really excited for having her on the show. Thank you for doing this with me, Akanksha.
Thank you. That is the best welcome. My God. I feel like my heart is like, oh.
No.
So thank you.
It's well deserved. And thank you for doing this. I couldn't think of anybody more perfect to do this because I think you've had a pretty amazing journey to get to where you are today. And that's something that our listeners are definitely going to love and enjoy. So before I do any injustice to you, tell me a little bit about yourself and your journey a little bit so our listeners can kind of relate to who you are.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Uthra. First of all, it has been an incredible honor and gift to know you and to have gotten to know you, and I'm just so grateful for all the things that you've been a part of in my work, and this is amazing. So I am a independent filmmaker in grad school at Columbia, and also from India, like you. And grateful that we met after college and also both fell in love with comedy and wanting to do that together. And so now the films that I make mostly they're more political in nature because I've been, I don't know, ever since the presidency and, you know, stuff like that, it's like where my interests have fallen. But I've learned a lot about filmmaking the last couple of years at Columbia, and I've made a few short films, and I'm just about to make my thesis film.
Beautiful.
So that's what's happening.
That's awesome. I mean,
thank you.
That sounds exciting. Thesis graduation, that must be nerve-wracking.
Oh, gosh.
But, I mean, the question comes, right? Like, I know, like we said, we've come from India, but where did the interest for being a part of filmmaking come from? Like, was that something that came through in college? Was that when you moved to Chicago? Like, is it something that's always been a dream? Like, where did that interest come from and that passion derive its source from?
Thank you for asking. So I grew up in Saudi Arabia originally. I lived there for the first 13 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And my family, when you grow up in a country like Saudi Arabia, especially if you're a young girl, like, your life is spent as an indoors child. You know, mm-hmm. You spend a lot of time reading. And so my family was very big on Bollywood. We always watched, you know, we'd go and get a whole bunch of, at that time we had VHS tapes.
Right.
Like,
right.
Which is insane to believe that, like, I was alive in that era. Like, I feel like, what? So we would rent them from these, you know, these little Indian shops. Like, you get all your groceries and then you also get these videos.
VHS tapes, yeah.
Exactly. So we were always caught up on, like, the current Bollywood landscape. We were always, like, we watched all of those films and then, like, got all the soundtracks and, like, and it was just such a, I don't know, it was like such a beautiful way to just consume what really was my own culture.
Correct.
And also a way to escape. You know, I mean, that was, I think, what made me fall in love with filmmaking, is that it's like a fantasy world, and it's a way to escape whatever you're trying to escape. Right. And it's a way to tell stories and to connect, you know, to actually emotionally convey something and to have an audience connect. So the love was very early on, it was like embedded, but right. Of course, because then we moved to India, and like I was always good at science, like I was always good at the sciences, and so
right.
It was like, you got the good brain genes, so you have to, like, so I majored in physics in college.
Okay.
Which has
beautiful.
Nothing to do with filmmaking.
Yeah.
But I did minor in film, and like it was always my main interest.
Right.
And after I graduated, I moved to Chicago, did some comedy, and worked for a little while, in another industry, but my heart just kept going back to film.
Right.
And especially, it's great because sort of the culmination of this whole thing is kind of the project we worked on together, which is that through all those comedy nerds that I had become friends with,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I really want to make a web series, because everyone was making web series at the
right,
time.
Right.
And that's when, like, I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I've been waiting to do. I've been waiting to do film. So I applied to film school, and now it's like, okay, I'm not doing anything else.
This is the calling. This is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Huh. That's really cool because, I mean, so physics and yes. graduating in sciences, you know, but also having, I understand that because I have the same like mentality of like, I'm really good at the quantitative stuff because right. of my genes and because I yeah. like subjective stuff,
yeah,
objective stuff, sorry. But I do enjoy the creative side of my brain as well. But exactly. I do that as more of a escape more than anything else, right? Like
totally.
To make that your full-time like goal.
Yeah.
Did that take away from the joy of it sometimes? Like, was it like, now this is my career, now this is my focus, so it becomes more stressful? It's like, oh, if I don't get this project done, if I don't hit this goal, it's kind of like reading, right? Like when I used to read for fun, I loved reading, but when teachers told me to read for class, I
yeah.
hated reading. So
oh yeah,
did it ever get that way?
Absolutely, it does all the time. And then that's even like, it's a struggle because then you're like, oh my god, I'm doing what I love, why am I unhappy, like what is wrong, what's my
right,
deal,
right.
you know? And I think it's hard in this industry because it's like everything is so unreal, like there's no like steady income, there's
right.
no like, okay, this is your job now for
mm-hmm.
you know, like there's no like reliable sources of, okay, like you're gonna be doing this for a few years, or even if you're actually working in the industry as a writer on a show or whatever, it's like gig to gig, you're still, you know, every season you have to like go and get staffed again or whatever, so the unreliableness of it is very it can be very frightening,
right?
I don't think, for instance, that I would have just done this off the bat because, you know, I'm an immigrant and, like,
mm-hmm.
there's no, okay, like, let's welcome immigrant filmmakers. Like,
right,
that's not
right.
a thing. But also, I'm a woman and, like, you know, again, there were not really any women of color directors that I could model my hopeful career after.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that stand as, like, roadblocks and you're like, can I even do this? Like, am
right.
I joking? Like, am I fooling myself? So those things come in, and then of course, like when you're actually in the midst of it, like I have 5 projects in post-production right now, and I'm like working on my thesis,
right.
and I am trying to get this event, and I'm like, some days I'm just like, what am I doing? Like
right.
I just kind of want a break from all the madness.
Right, right.
But you know, again, it comes down to it. It's like what makes you the happiest ultimately.
Right.
Like life is short, and especially now, we live in a time where anyone can do it. Honestly, like it's like there's so many
it's
more tools
possible.
And resources. Yeah,
yeah, but as you said, like you had barriers to entry. Obviously, being an immigrant, being a woman of color, but not just that. The film industry, as you said, is unreliable. It's
yeah.
very competitive.
Right.
There are like Los Angeles is the mecca of making movies and everything, but. In general, everybody around the world, anybody with an iPhone today likes to make some sort of movies or videos, right?
Totally,
like,
yeah.
So, in a competitive field like movie making, and in an unreliable field that it is,
mm-hmm.
how does one, like, go every day believing that this is worth it? This is the purpose of my life,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy doing this, even if it means making those sacrifices or dealing with this unreliability, because that blows my mind to like not know, like a season might end and then I have, what do I do now, you know?
Yeah that's a really great question. Honestly, I feel like someone who's actually made it maybe more qualified to answer it,
right.
but I do feel like, you know, it comes down to like you have to always make a choice one way or another, and you at those crossroads in your life, you're just like, okay, like what do I choose and which one can I live with, you know,
right.
ultimately. And for me, like having worked outside of, you know, after having graduated from college and then worked for 3 years in the work field and knowing that it was just not making me happy, like I just had always known that I was never gonna be good at a 9-to-5 or like be able to survive it, because I was like, all of my energy comes in spurts, like it's not long, I'm like not a stable human being, I'm kind of a mess altogether, and it was always like, I was always getting the most excitable when it was about projects, when it was
right.
about like, you know, storytelling, and just knowing that, and then like hoping and praying that it'll work out somehow,
yeah.
And you know, that was a thing that just kind of helped keep me going, and I
right.
feel like a lot of people do, you know, go through stages in life where they give up. Like, there are times when you have to tell yourself, you're like, okay, if this doesn't work out by the time I'm 35, then I'll quit. Or if it doesn't work out by the time I'm 40, like...
Yeah.
And I've definitely had those conversations with myself where I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'll give it 10 more years, and by the time I'm 40, it doesn't work out, then we have to go and pursue a different career.
Fair, fair. Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, we have our youth, so let's try and spend it
like,
while
take,
we can.
Take those leaps of faith,
yeah.
if I may.
Totally.
So that's really cool. But having said that, like, is the filmmaking industry, like, your peers, is it a supportive group? Is it a competitive group? What is, like, is it, like, what is it? It's like, is it cutthroat? Like, for example, you'd look at Wall Street and you're like, cutthroat. Mm-hmm. Like, you cut each other off because mm-hmm. you need to get to the top of the ladder. Whereas with filmmaking, is it more like, I like your idea, I'll help you build your idea because I think it's cool? Or is it more like, no, I'm going to, like, do my own thing, you know?
That's a great question. So where I went to undergrad, for instance, where you also went to undergrad,
right.
There was not really a lot of, like, film production classes. It was mostly right. film studies classes. But, right. like, the few film projects that were happening, I always personally felt very excluded from them because mm-hmm. it felt like a boys' club. Like, it felt mm-hmm. like, you know, like, there was that barrier of entry, like, you have to be a man or, you know, white or whatever to participate in that world. My experience in Chicago has been very different, and I'm very grateful for it, because it has been a very inclusive community. It's been very, like, you want to do a project, like, there are people who will support you, there are people who will help you, and they'll make it happen. You know, together you guys will make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that city to city, it really varies. Like, when I was in Los Angeles for 3.5-ish months last year, and I had a really positive experience, knock on wood.
Right.
And I think that that's partly because the landscape is changing, or mm-hmm. they're trying to take notice of the fact that it has to change.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a few years ago it would have been different, but, like, being a woman of color, like, I felt like, you know, the community was energized around me, and I felt
really?
Like there was, yeah, absolutely. And I just came back from a major film festival, and, like, even there, like, I felt like people were talking to me, and, like, you know, I had a really, really good experience.
Right.
That might have been different a few years ago. So I think that we're living in a really cool time, really, really good time for people like us to be making films.
Right.
And there's a lot of support. There's a lot of people really want to help. People really want to make, because it's still something that excites people.
Right.
And energizes people.
And is it because also, like, like, as technology has evolved, as social media has gained popularity, has filmmaking itself kind of changed in what it used to be? Like, previously, as you said, VHS tapes were our ways to get
yeah.
access to films. Today, you open up YouTube and you have, like, these independent web series always online. So, like, the access to entertainment is mm-hmm. easy. It's convenient. It's almost on everybody's, like, fingertips.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a completely different landscape, I feel like. Like, it's like, the films that I was watching, you know, back in Saudi Arabia, those were, like, primarily shot on film. You know,
right.
they were not even digitally shot. And it was, like, later, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, that digital filmmaking even began.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, like, I feel like there's, like, Instagram micro-series. Like, you
right.
know, I know somebody who produced and was in an Instagram micro-series last year. And
mm.
there's, like, Snapchat, you know, little Snapchat
yeah.
shorts or whatever. And it's, like, so weird to think about, but it's, like, it's so much more democratized in that way. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
That said, there's a lot of content out there, and, like, a lot of it is not great.
Right, right.
But it's, like, cool because it's, like, you know, if you think about, like, Lily Singh, Superwoman,
mm-hmm.
got her own show, and she started out as a YouTube, and she's still making stuff for YouTube.
Right, right.
So it's amazing.
That's awesome. So talking about shows like Instagram series and Snapchat series, you've been a part of a lot of projects. As you said, you're working on 5 right now. You've been doing it for the last few years in Chicago. Has there been a particular project or a show that you've been a part of, or you directed or you produced, that you was especially close to you, especially important to you, or, like, the point where you were like, this is my favorite show, or this is my favorite part of being a filmmaker? What was it? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, thank you for asking. That's so sweet. You know, that's a great question. I feel like all these questions are really rich. I feel like every project has something special. Like, that sounds like a really cliched answer, but it's, like, kind
it's
of, like...
It's true, though.
Yeah, it's, like...
Can't choose your babies, right?
Right. Like, it's, like, every project has something that it brings, that even if it wasn't the most pleasant experience, like, you still learn something,
sure.
and that'll inform your next project. That said, I really did have a huge blast on our project, The Account
right.
Show, because, like, it was so many people, and,
yeah.
like, just, you know, thinking about the Bollywood number that we shot, and like it just was so fun and
yeah.
so ridiculous and wild, and
yeah.
like looking back at it, I'm just like, what did, like, you know, especially when you think of, like, Bill's character, who's, like, in this weird mask, and, like, it's just so silly and fun, but it was pure joy. Like,
yeah,
it was,
it was. And for our listeners that don't have a little bit of context here, The Akang Show was basically a web series that Akang Show decided that she wanted to make on
we
her
only
life.
We made one episode.
We made one episode.
It was, like, 20 minutes long.
But this one episode went for 6 months because we had a Bollywood number to the Conscious Dream, where we had like 20 people come to practices where I choreographed the Bollywood number.
Yes, you did. You did an incredible job.
And they filmed it, and they produced it, and she wrote the song for it, and we recorded it.
Like, we all sang.
We all sang in this thing. It was a whole shebang. Like, and it was one episode of this whole show, and it was awesome. But it was such a cool experience for me. But like, I understand, like, that was, even though it was just one episode, even though it was just, that was what got you in, like, you weren't in film school then, like, that got you interested into film school.
It really did. Okay. It really kind of just set the everything in motion, because I was like, you know, just like picking the costumes, that was such a moment of pure joy. Like, the pink, like, it's just like, you know, you realize, you're like, oh, this is what I want to do with my life. Like, I realized I want to be a director, and the one thing that had been holding me back was that there were not many women of color immigrant directors. I was like, I don't think women can do this. I literally thought that. Because there were not many examples in Hollywood and Bollywood. But I knew that was what I wanted to do.
So, was there somebody who told you that, like, no, you can do it? Or, like, what was... Did you actually have a role model in somebody else that was, like Barack Obama, first black president? I don't know. Like, was it somebody like, if they can do it, I can do it too? Like, was it there?
Oh, my God. This is a funny story. But, so I had... My mom's friend had, like, a friend who was a therapist here. So, she's also Indian. Hmm? And, like... I needed therapy at the time. I'm big on therapy. I'm always going to therapy. And so I was like, Mom, I need a therapist. And she's like, I'm going to send you to my friend's friend, like this auntie. And I went to see her. And, like, I was just, you know, bitching about my career and my job and how I was so unhappy. And she's like, what do you really want to do? And I was like, film. And she's like, well, then apply to Columbia. It's right here. And I was like, I was just like, I think I just needed, like, that jolt of, like, someone just saying the obvious. Like, just do it. Like, what's wrong with you? What is holding you back?
Yeah.
And I didn't apply to any other school. I only applied to Columbia because, again, it was right here.
Yep.
It's the one school I know that gives financial aid. So I got a full ride to go to Columbia, which I would not have been able to do otherwise. And most film schools don't give financial aid. You know, there's a barrier to entry that way as well.
Yeah.
And that honestly, Columbia changed my life. Like, most people rag on Columbia a lot, but it really did, because I got to make, like, 6 films there and, you know, just can make a lot of connections.
Right. That's really cool. Connections. So, talking about Columbia and school, film school, the path that it is, what is a typical day or a typical year in film school? Like, is it the stereotypical things that you see in TV shows? Because most of my information comes from TV shows.
Mine too.
Yeah.
It still does.
Right. So, like, is it like you go every day, like, with projects in your mind? Or, like, are you learning, like, techniques and acting? I don't know. Like, what is...
Yeah.
I don't want to butcher it, so I'll let you explain that further.
No, I think it varies from... it depends on your program. You know, there's programs that specialize in cinematography or in editing or, you know, in acting or whatever. My program was for directing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was writing directing, which is what I wanted to do. So we do have classes, and we also have shoots. So, like, you know, I know that I have 2 projects this semester, so then I'll, like, so that entire process of, like, pre-production, production, post-production happens while I'm in class, as well as, like, the actual shoot days. So, for instance, now I have my thesis, but I've been kind of developing it since, like, last November.
Okay.
And we shoot at the end of May and early June, but it's, like, I've been working on it kind of, in a way, all along. So it's, like, developing the script and hiring the actors and finding the locations and, you know, getting all the props and, you know, all that stuff together and then doing the actual shoot and then editing the footage and...
So it's kind of like you still, like, you have those phases that you're kind of getting, like, sign off from professors saying, all right, I've got my script. Does this look good to you?
Yeah.
I have my actors.
In grad school, it's a little less. Like, it's like you kind of just are on your own. Like, I think in undergrad, like, you do have to get all that permission and stuff. But in grad school, it's like you have your advisors. But for the most part, you do things yourself.
Got
like,
it.
Yeah. You know, it's like we're older. So hopefully you have your shit
figured out. You're responsible adults in some ways is what you're assumed to be. And you just work on that. Fair. But tell me about these projects. Like, where does the inspiration come from? Is it coming from your own personal life? Is it coming from your friends' stories? Is it coming from just pure imagination of dragons and swords? Like, like you said, you've been political recently with your filmmaking, which is derived from the current climate that is in America and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So where does your inspiration? Is it like the world? Is it yourself? Like, where does those inspirations for those projects come from?
I think with every filmmaker has their own, you know, space. Like, some people like to do documentaries, for instance, and other people are, like, super into horror. Right. So every person has their own sources of inspiration. For me, like, personal storytelling is so important, and, like, I'm big on that. Like, I've always been both a performer and, you know, a writer. So, like, all of my films so far have been personal stories. Okay. Except for ones that I was, like, signed on by somebody else to do. So, you know, because I just really, I mean, I feel like film is such a powerful tool to communicate. And, like, you know, it just is, like, such a, because it's, like, the closest medium, the closest art medium able to capture reality. And right. So it's, like, such a quick way to get someone to experience something. And there are so many experiences that people around the world have that, you know, you might not be exposed to. And I just, I feel like an onus on me to, like, share those.
Right.
So I made a film about growing up in Saudi Arabia. And it's very short. And it's, you know, it's going to premiere at our event. But I just felt like it's just such a simple film. And it's just, like, about a couple things. You can't, like, make a whole, you know. There's right. a lot of aspects.
Right.
But it's, like, you know, like, people are so, they're, like, so shocked. They're, like, oh, we didn't realize that, like, for instance, you know, like, all the books you buy there, like, if they have women on the cover, then they're, like, blackened out with permanent marker. And mm-hmm. it's, like, so things like that, I feel like I was, like, I want to communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
That said, like, I feel like people do all kinds of things. Like, yeah for me, it's always been personal.
Yeah. So, we've spoken about how supportive the community is. We've spoken about the projects that are personal to you. Have you had people, like, when they watch your shows or when they watch your productions or even just peers, like, not be supportive, like actually be like, don't make a show on that because that's offensive, or actually, like, put down your work or be negative about, like, is there, I'm sure it's not always rosy pictures.
Absolutely.
And, like, cherry
yeah.
blossoms. I'm sure there's, like, barriers and hurdles and bad days when, like, you know, like, people don't accept what you're trying to put on stage, or people don't support it, you know? Has that ever been a situation? Like, have you had a personal experience there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our school is, you know, art schools are kind of modeled in the workshop setting.
Okay.
So it's like you will, you know, read each other's scripts in class, and you, like, watch cuts of each other's work, and then everybody tries to give constructive feedback. But there have definitely been times where, you know, like, I have gotten a lot of, and it's a lot of that constructive feedback, like, it's helpful, you know, even,
yeah.
It's like when somebody's critiquing something, hopefully their intentions are good.
Right.
But, you know, I have a lot of, like, my biggest struggle in with my work has been, like, trying to meet the audience, like, where they're at, and, like, trying to be more clear, because, like, I'll do all this stuff in hidden metaphors a lot, and it's just, like, pretentious, and it's, like, just tell us what's happening.
Yeah.
But definitely there have been times where it's, like, you know, like, you have to have a thick skin, like, you have to, like, I hate using that phrase, but it's, like, you have to, like, separate yourself from your work and, like, be, like, how can I improve my work and keep trying to be a better artist, and what can I learn from people's feedback.
Right, what was the worst, like feedback you once got, and you were just like, oh my god, that feels personal?
Okay, so I'll tell you honestly. It was for this short that I've been trying to make since 2013, so back when we were in college.
Yeah, yeah.
I made it last year. It's called Natural Selection.
Okay.
You were actually, you know, you played the cousin.
Did, oh, that was
yeah,
me.
That's
oh,
the
okay,
one.
Okay.
And, you know, I showed it to a couple of my classmates, and they were like, this is a, like, the portrayal of women, of the woman of color, which is me, like, the character is named Akanksha. It's about my life, and it's me
yeah.
playing myself. They were like, that's a very stereotypical woman of color, and, like, you're playing into the color stereotypes about women of color. And I was like, what? Like, I was just, like, kind of like, well, it is who I am, so
yeah.
I don't know how to take that. Like, I don't, but it's like, and I think the people who was critiquing it, their intentions were good. Like, they were just, like, trying to get me to be like, okay, this is feedback you might get elsewhere.
Correct.
But they kept telling me, like, I was really writing a stereotypical woman of color who was, like, trying to, you know, she's, like, bumbling about, and she's, like, kind of, you know, not, like, with it. And
mm-hmm.
I really, that felt personal. I was like, oh, I.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's important to take your feedback
yeah, you
in.
Can, yeah, you can be nice about it, but I that was personal. I get it.
Like, I was like, I'm a stereotype. I was like, okay, I
yeah.
guess. Like, it's
because
my life.
For a reason, yeah.
Right. Like, I was like, sure.
Yeah. But so, what is your goal then? So, like, moving away from that to, like, so you continue to make movies, you continue to make media out there. Is your purpose to make, like, as you said, you have you feel like there's an onus upon you to share your story, share your experiences, because people don't know about it. is that what you're like focusing on as a filmmaker to continue doing, or is there like a bigger like, I want to be more mainstream, or I want to be more independent and put out more documentary films? Like, I don't know, what is the goal for you for the future a little bit, if you've thought about that?
Thank you for asking. Well, my immediate goals, I'm moving to LA in a few months. Okay. And I'm very, very excited about that. But my goal in life is to write and direct feature films, and that has always been a goal, even though I would not admit it to anybody, you know, yeah. A few years
except
ago.
Except everybody else listening to this podcast right now.
Yes, now this is the time to, yeah, no, yeah, that is my goal in life, you know, I don't ever, like, aspire to make really big budget films or anything. They're always going to be small budget, but right. Independent comedy-based films.
Comedy-based?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Like, even the work that I do that's political is all comedic. Like, okay. It's like, comedy will never leave.
So, like, it's satire.
They're
satirical.
All fun. Yeah, some of them, they're not necessarily satire, but they are, like, they have humorous elements. And then
gotcha.
I do have one that is satirical
got
in nature.
It.
So, yeah. It's all, everything's comedic.
That's cool.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, for sure. Have you ever thought about going back to Bollywood? Like, has that ever been a thing?
I have thought about it, actually.
Really?
I thought about it a few times. Yeah, because I have a friend who did the program at my school, and now he's from Kerala, so he's from, like, South India, and he moved back, and he's making these documentaries now. Like, he's making a documentary on Ganga, the river, and all that stuff, and there are times where I'm like, oh, like, it would be really cool if, like, you know, like, have you seen the movie Queen?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it would be really cool to make a movie like that. Like,
right.
Something that's completely, like, revolutionary. And, like,
right.
Turning the, you know, stereotypes on their heads. And, like,
correct.
For instance, Lily Singh, like, she just released a video where she's like, oh, if Bollywood songs were rap.
Mm-hmm.
And she did the Choli Ke Piche song. But she, like, did, like, a completely, like, turning it around rap on it. And
huh.
I was like, that would be really cool to make.
Right.
I don't know if I would have any power in Bollywood, so that would scare me because I don't have any connections.
Right.
But I've definitely thought about it. Yeah.
So, like, I'm gonna do this interesting thing where I'm like gonna go. Who do you look up to in terms of filmmakers, in terms of game changers, like in terms of people that have made an impact in the world based on their filmmaking, like. Do you have, like, names
yes.
and people? Yeah,
totally.
So who would those be?
I really look up to Meera Nair
because okay.
she's, you know, she moved here after college, and she's a worldwide famous
yep.
Filmmaker. I look up to Gurinder Chadha because
mm-hmm.
I really like her films, and
yeah.
she does comedy, and it's always, like, again, personal, you know, based, like, on her life. So I think that's, she's just amazing. I look up to Lily Singh a lot because it's, like, wow, she started out making YouTube videos, and now she's got her own talk show.
Right.
And it's, you know, I look up to Hasan Minhaj because he's really making, you know, he's really making waves. Like, he did the White House Correspondents'
Dinner.
Yeah, and he completely, like, no one was brave enough to stand up to Congress like that.
Yeah.
And Patriot Act is just such an incredible show.
Yeah.
I just love his comedy.
Yeah.
I look up to Kumail Nanjiani because he is exactly like my brand of humor, and he's so charming and cute. And
yeah. And you met him, so.
Oh my god, I can't. Yeah. But those are definitely like people like basically you know from of South Asian or Indian descent who are making waves.
Yeah.
And changing the world.
In the world, in the global market, not just in like Bollywood market.
Exactly.
Of sorts,
you know? Yeah. Exactly. All around.
So then, switching it on the other side,
yes.
There are so many current people in India. Like, there's a stereotype in India, right? Like, as you said, science, if you have the brain, do science. If you have the brain, do doctorate or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And a lot, all over the world, in fact, like, filmmaking is not given the importance that it's supposed to be given. Humanities in general is not given the importance that it deserves in some ways. But there are people that have those passions, kids that have those ambitions, people students in college that want to do these things. So if they were listening right now, like, what would your advice be to them? Like, I know, like, you yourself had like a very unorthodox journey to get to where you are today. But to them, like, what would be something like that they could learn from your experience, or some advice that you would give them maybe to kind of navigate the waters of life a little bit better, I guess.
Thank you for asking. I think it's difficult because it's like a lot of people do get, I mean, I was very lucky that my mom is super open-minded and like ultimately did let me do what I want to do, but
yeah.
A lot of people, you know, there's parental pressure and, you know, they might not be at, especially if you're a woman, like I feel like, you know, for girls back home, like I feel like it's still, there are, you know, it's like barriers to cross.
Yep.
But if it's like a really relentless fire, you know, like, and then you just kind of have to pick your battles and choose the ones that you are worth fighting, and ultimately just, you have, like, following that dream is, like, it's always going to be hard. Like, there's no real guarantees, and there are times where you're just completely going to be alone, and no one's going to tell you it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But you just have to, like, rely on, like, this is all I want to do, right. And there's nothing that can stop me.
Right.
So, and I think that, I don't know, Indian women are super strong and, like, super, I mean, they, like, lift the world, so I think that they can totally do it.
Right. Yeah, so just believe, like, even though it's hard,
yeah.
Nothing came easy to people that didn't want to fight for it, right?
Yeah.
Fair.
And I'm a very spiritual person, so, like, you know, I'm not religious, but I am very spiritual, and relying on that has, on my faith has really...
allowed you to...
Yeah, it's like, when I feel like shit, I just turn to my higher power.
Higher
like,
power.
I'm just like, oh, I need it, please help me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things
Bhagwanji, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Bhagwanji, yeah.
Okay, so coming to my final question.
Yes.
This is one of my favorite questions, and I've never had to ask this before because it just didn't seem appropriate, but I get to ask this to you because it makes sense. If there could be a film or a biopic made about your life...
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't have to be today, but, like, in, like, 10, 15 years or whatever...
Yes.
What would the title of this biopic be?
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's a really good question.
I know.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Natural Selection is already the title of a short film that I made.
Yeah.
But because it's, like, something I've held on to that title for 6 years now... So I feel like that might just be the title. Because
yeah, yeah.
I really think, you know, with my beginning in science and, like, being, you know, big fan of Darwin, like,
yeah, yeah.
The reason that that's the title of my film is because there's that myth of, like, you know, some species that are stronger than the others will survive.
Sure.
And it's, like, it kind of is, you know, I don't know, like, just thinking about, you know, like, people who will go on to do great things. Like, they have to have a lot of elements working for them.
Yeah.
So I think that that terminology is so fascinating and fun to think about, like, when we think about... who immigrates somewhere, and then who's able to start a new life,
right.
And who's able to, like,
survive.
Build a support system, exactly, and survive. So
yeah.
That's where
Natural
I would
selection.
Totally name it that.
That's pretty cool. I like the
Thanks
name.
For asking.
Natural Selection.
A lot of people that I know hate it. Like
really?
My writing partner would always be like, this sounds like it's a documentary about Darwin. Wow. And I was like, no, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, it's a metaphor. Yeah. But no, that's... I like it.
Thanks
I love it, actually. Awesome. Well, thank you for doing this
thank
with us.
Thank you. This was such a blast.
I know. This
I
was
never
a lot
get
of fun.
Asked a lot of these. This is great.
No,
everyone
like,
loves
I
think, talking about themselves. So
I know, but this was not, like, this was about you. This was about the film, like, making school. And I think our listeners obviously got a lot out of it because I sure did. I didn't know a lot about this. And it's cool to know that there are people that want to stay away from the mold and do different things and make a difference in this world because that's what makes the world move forward. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much. Such an honor.
And that was our episode about what is filmmaking, and that was Akanksha telling us a little bit about her journey to get there. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of What Is, and stay tuned for the next episode. I have some exciting ideas coming up, some different stuff, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. Thank you so much, and have a great and wonderful, wonderful week and day.